That were, well, non-existent. "Happy birthday to me," Harper murmured, saving the billing file before leaving her office. She found her mother at the stove, frying bacon. A very attentive Jazz sat at a polite distance away, not crowding or even whining, just gently reminding Bunny that she was there and bacon was her favorite. "Good morning," Harper said cheerfully. Bunny turned and smiled. "Good morning, Harper. Happy birthday." "Thanks, Mom. You didn't have to go to all this trouble."
"I wanted to."
The kitchen table was set with festive birthday dishware. Yes, plates and mugs and bowls covered with birthday hats, tiny banners proclaiming happy birthday, and little presents. Happy birthday confetti, the same colors as the floral centerpiece, decorated the table. A pitcher of fresh-squeezed orange juice sat on one side of the table, next to a bowl of fresh fruit. Homemade croissants sat in a bread basket warmed by a terracotta stone that would have been preheated in the oven. She would guess that her favorite blueberry French toast casserole was finishing up in said oven at this very moment. Bunny might not be willing to move with the times, but she made a heck of a birthday breakfast. Harper walked over to the stove and hugged her mother. "Thank you. This is wonderful. I feel very pampered. I'm glad." Harper told herself to suck it up and just get it over with. "Mom, I'm sorry we fought before. I didn't mean to upset you, and it made me feel bad that you were unhappy." A bit of a Weasley apology, what with her not admitting what she said was wrong, mostly because it wasn't, and she wasn't going to give up that ground unless she had to. But as it was her birthday, maybe Bunny would cut her a break. Her mother smiled at her. "Thank you, Harper. I appreciate that." Harper waited to see if there was more. When her mother added, "Now, go get my granddaughter so we can eat breakfast," the last of her concern faded. All was forgiven. Nothing was resolved, of course. But hey, with every family came a bit of dysfunction. Normal was so last year. A half hour later, breakfast was finished. Everyone had celebrated, even Jazz, who'd been given 2 strips of bacon. Bunny had tucked a check for $500 into a card. Harper had appreciated the generosity more than any present. Right now, paying her bills was a lot more fun than going to the mall. "Thanks, Mom."
"You're welcome."
They shared a smile. Harper picked up the small package her daughter had put at her plate and briefly wondered when Terrence had taken his daughter shopping. When she pulled back the wrapping paper, she realized he hadn't, but that was perfectly fine. The gift was a small booklet, created by hand and bound at one end. Inside were a dozen coupons, all made by Becca. Her daughter watched anxiously as she flipped through them. "Good for one. Send me to my room when I'm pouting. Good for one. No, we're not having this discussion again. Good for one. Clean up my room." The coupons were all variations on a theme. Silly things she and Becca fought about in the course of their lives. The thoughtfulness of the gift touched her nearly as much as how much time her daughter had put into making it. Harper felt unexpected tears fill her eyes. "Thank you," she said, smiling at Becca. "This is so wonderful. I'm glad you like it." Harper reached for her and hung on to her child. She had the brief thought that they never hugged anymore, never touched. Everything was moving so fast that she barely had time to breathe. But still, was she losing touch with her daughter? When Becca had been little, they'd always hung out together. How would she let that slip away? Before she could figure out an answer, Becca grinned and stood. "Are you ready?"
"I'm stuffed," Harper said with a laugh.
"But yes." Because in the Zemanski household, every birthday breakfast ended with cake. Becca brought it out from the pantry and set it on the table. The small cake was frosted in white and decorated with only a few ribbons of pink. A single deep pink candle in the shape of a lotus flower sat in one corner.
"I found the candle online," Becca said, her eyes bright with anticipation.
"Grandma watched the video with me." She smiled at Bunny.
"You light it, Grandma."
"No, dear. You do the honors."
While Harper watched, her daughter pulled matches out of the junk drawer. She lit the candle and stepped back. For a second, nothing happened. Then the flame grew thicker and higher. Jazz gave a low growl in her throat, as if warning of impending danger.
"It's okay," Becca told her as she scratched her ears. "You'll see. It's like magic."
The flames were steady, then suddenly died.
The flower fell open and morphed into nearly a dozen tiny lit candles spinning slowly in the morning light.
"How did they do that?"
Harper asked, as she stared in wonder.
"I love it. I want a candle like that at breakfast every morning."
Bunny and Becca shared a high five. Then her mother started to cut the cake.
"The internet is a magical place, Harper. Everybody knows that."
Full on breakfast and cake, Harper got down to the reality of keeping her business afloat. By 10, she'd made serious inroads on her to-do list and had set up an appointment to meet with Dean, Kit's stay-at-home dad friend, about him working for her. A couple of minutes past the hour, she was interrupted by someone ringing her doorbell. It was too early for Duane, she thought, walking to the front of the house, an alert Jazz at her side. She opened the door to find three women holding buckets, mops, large tote bags, and a vacuum.
"Harper Zemanski?"
the shortest of the three asked. "Yes." She handed Harper a card that read, "Happy birthday, Harper. I know this will make you crazy, but just go with it." There was a scrawled signature underneath she recognized as Lucas's.
"I don't understand," she said faintly,
even though she understood fully.
Understanding wasn't the problem. Her issue was grasping.
"We're here to clean your house."
"But I..."
Someone else cleaning her place? Her mother would have a heart attack.
"You weren't supposed to farm out work like that. A woman took care of her house herself.
It was...
What was wrong with her? Someone had bought her house cleaning for her birthday. Next to Becca's coupon book, it was the best gift she'd received in the last 5 years.
"Thank you," she said with a smile. "Come on in."
Chapter 16. "You're a very good girl," Stacy told Bay as she clipped the dog's nails. The Doberman lay on the floor, patiently enduring what Stacy suspected was less than professional-level grooming. She'd never considered herself much of a pet person before, but Bay made it easy. The dog was attentive, smart, and had excellent communication skills. She spent a couple of days a week over at Harper's house, hanging out with her friends. Stacy wasn't sure how that would change when the puppies were born.
"You'll be busy with your own family," she told the dog.
"Then when I have Jewel, Kit will be home with you all day, and I think you'll like that."
Bay's brown eyes locked on her face, as if the dog didn't want to miss a word.
"The vet says you're doing really well with your pregnancy," Stacy continued. She glanced over her shoulder to make sure they were alone in the family room, then lowered her voice.
"I'm expecting to learn a lot from you on the baby front. Not so much the actual giving birth part, but after. How you take care of them. I'm still not feeling any kind of connection with Jewel, and I don't know when that's supposed to happen."
She had more to discuss with the dog, but stopped talking when she heard footsteps in the hall. Ashton walked into the family room and sat on the large sectional. He was pale and looked uneasy.
"Do you have a second?" he asked, avoiding her gaze.
"Of course. What's wrong?"
"I heard from my mom. They let her call me, which means she's doing better in rehab."
He laced his fingers together, then pulled them apart and jumped to his feet. He paced to the window, then turned back.
"She wants me to ask Kit for money, and then send it to her. I'm not supposed to tell him it's going to her because he would never send her any. Not after all those other times, but she says he won't refuse me."
He was right, Stacy thought. Kit had been dealing with his sister's drug problem for decades. He'd spoken to drug counselors enough to know that he couldn't participate in her cycle of destruction. But while he wouldn't give his sister a penny, he would definitely give Ashton whatever he needed. Hence the problem. Stacy finished with Bay and carefully collected all the clippings on a paper towel before moving to the sectional. What was she supposed to say? She didn't know Ashton's mother or what he wanted to do. She felt as if there were hidden questions or concerns in what he was saying. Should she ask? Make assumptions, although that never went well. Not when it came to interpersonal situations. If only Harper were here, she would know what to say. But Harper wasn't here, and Stacy knew she couldn't ask Ashton to put his feelings on hold until someone better equipped was around to help him deal.
"You know the situation with your mother isn't your fault," she began.
He nodded. "I know. Whatever makes her do drugs happened long before I was born.
He joined her on the sofa and angled toward her.
But it's still hard, you know. She's my mom.
Because while you can say it's not your fault, you still feel guilty? She asked,
hoping she was going in the right direction. His mouth twisted. Something like that.
She touched her stomach. I get that. I'm the one who's pregnant, but in my heart, I think of this baby as Kit's.
The words came out with no warning.
She blinked several times, not able to believe she'd said that out loud.
Ashton gave her a slight smile. Not surprising, Stacy. You can't even tell your mom you're pregnant. You should really get on that.
I know, she sighed. Okay, so we've established we're both bad at this. How can I help?
He hesitated. Just listening helps. A total lie, she thought. If he was comfortable making a decision on his own, he wouldn't have come to her. He wanted her to make the decision for him. But which one?
All right, she said slowly. How about this? You can't have the money. I'm going to tell Kit what's going on, so he won't give it to you, and I won't give it to you either.
Ashton shocked her by completely relaxing.
All the worry and tension left his body, and he sagged against the back of the sofa.
Thanks, Stacy. I really appreciate that. She'd guessed right.
She was still trying to absorb that when he upped the shock factor by adding,
I shouldn't be surprised. You always know what to say to me.
I do?
Sure, he grinned. Kit was lucky to find you. I remember when we first met. He told me who you were before I came to visit. I looked you up online and read a couple of your papers. He chuckled. Okay, I tried to read them but couldn't. Still, I was really interested in what you were doing. I started thinking about studying science in college, which is how I found my way to engineering.
I didn't know that, she admitted, not sure what else to say. She hadn't thought she could influence someone in her family. Mostly everyone didn't have a clue as to what she was doing, and if they did, they weren't very interested. Not Kit, of course, but he was different.
Ashton leaned toward her, his hands loosely laced between his open knees. Thanks again for letting me stay here with you. Mischief Bay is great. I like my job, and you and Kit are easy to be with. He grinned. And there's Becca, of course.
Of course, she echoed automatically, before the truth of that statement settled in her brain. Oh my God, you're dating!
What? He straightened. No, we're hanging out. Just friends.
He hesitated, then flushed.
I mean, I like her and all, but we're...
Stacy waited. His lips moved, but he didn't speak. Finally, he drew in a breath and looked at her.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I tried to keep that from you. Habit, I guess. It's always easier if my foster family or my mom don't know anything about my personal life. It's different here, and sometimes I forget. Yes, Becca and I are dating.
Stacy wanted to bolt or scream or both. Does Harper know?
I have no idea. We haven't been keeping it a secret or anything.
Stacy tried to work the problem. Becca was 16, nearly 17. She would be a senior in high school next year. Having a boyfriend was completely normal, and Ashton was a conscientious, age-appropriate teenage boy. I'm comfortable with you dating my niece, she said, but I do have expectations I need you to meet.
Ashton looked more curious than concerned.
Sure.
What?
You need to be sexually responsible.
He stood so abruptly, Bay got on her feet and began looking for danger. Stacy wondered if he would be the one bolting now.
He glanced at the door, then sank back on the sofa.
Stacy called the Doberman over and had her snuggle with her on the couch. We're not having sex, he mumbled, avoiding her gaze. Geez, Stacy. I thought you were going to say to call when I said I was going to or something.
That too, but the sexual component can have lasting consequences for both of you. I expect you to use a condom when you have sexual intercourse with Becca.
We're not having sex, he repeated.
Not yet, but you're young and healthy, and hormones are very powerful. We've actually looked at them in my work, but they didn't seem to help with...
She sighed.
Not the point. As I was saying, I expect you to... She looked at him. Has anyone ever talked to you about sex?
He groaned. I know what goes where.
Which was the least of it. Who would have explained things to him? Not his mother. She doubted any of the foster families got close enough to have any kind of discussion with him. If he and Kit had ever discussed sex, Kit would have mentioned it to her. All right, she began slowly, as she organized her thoughts. I will mention a few key points, and then we'll be done. First, use a condom every time. If you give me the name of your preferred brand, I'll make sure they are always available in your bathroom. If you don't want to choose, I'll do some research and pick for you.
He buried his face in his hands. Is there more?
Yes, there is. Don't push. It's more than no means no. If the girl is reluctant, then stop. Go home and masturbate. It's not like you don't know how. Studies have shown that sexual release can be very therapeutic.
Ashton made a strangled sound deep in his throat, but otherwise didn't speak.
Girls are not whores or there for your amusement. I can't see you participating in some gang rape, but even a girl who's drunk and saying yes shouldn't be considered an available partner.
She softened her tone.
Be a good guy, Ashton, like your uncle. Always aim for the decision that makes you proud of yourself.
She paused, wondering what else she should mention.
Are you familiar with the female clitoris and how to stimulate it so that your partner has an orgasm? Oral sex can be very helpful with this. I can direct you to a few articles if you want to.
He stood and glared at her. Are we done?
You don't want to discuss how to please a woman sexually?
Not with you.
All right. Then I guess we're done. You can ask your uncle any follow-up questions if that would be easier.
It would.
Then thank you for listening.
Ashton shook his head, started to speak, threw up his hands, then stalked away. Stacy watched him go before turning back to Bay.
I think that went very well. What do you think?
Bay gave her a low yip of approval.
Harper carefully stirred the mixture. Kettle corn could be difficult, and if she had the heat even a couple of degrees too high, then the sugar would burn, and she would have to start over, because life was nothing if not exciting. Stacy walked into the kitchen.
You must be excited, her sister said.
I am. Misty's always been a fun client, and it's great to see her get a break like this, and on HBO.
Harper poured the kettle corn into three large serving bowls and started to hand one to her sister, only to set it down.
Geez, Stacy, you're seriously starting to show. You've got to tell Mom.
Her sister flushed.
I know. I was going to do it tonight, but Becca said she's not coming.
She's out with her friends. Marge just announced she's moving into a retirement community, and Bunny wants to talk her out of it. Because her mother was always very free with her opinion.
That sounds like our mother. Stacy leaned against the counter. I don't know how to ask this, so I'm just going to say it. Do you know that Becca and Ashton are seeing each other?
What?
Of course she knew. They were right outside in her living room, waiting for the HBO special to start. They were friends. Nothing more. Becca was too young to... Okay, not too young, but she wasn't going to...
No, she admitted in a whisper. Are you sure?
Ashton told me. Her daughter had a boyfriend and she hadn't said anything to her?
Her chest tightened as her throat seemed to swell shut. She felt the telltale burning in her eyes and knew she was seconds from an emotional meltdown.
She never said anything. Not a word. He's been over a few times, but I thought it was like a family thing.
You know they're not related, don't you?
Yes, Harper snapped, then held up a hand. Sorry, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad. It's just... How could Becca not have said anything? A boyfriend? A first boyfriend? Had they really stopped talking that much?
She thrust two of the popcorn bowls at her sister.
Take those out. I need a second, okay?
Stacy hesitated, then nodded.
Harper waited until she was alone to sink into one of the kitchen chairs. She told herself she would cry for 1 minute, and then she would get over it. Whatever was wrong with her relationship with Becca could be fixed. Look at the great birthday present her daughter had given her. Words that should have made her happy, but didn't. She couldn't shake the feeling she'd lost her little girl.
What's wrong?
She looked up and saw Lucas standing in the entrance to the kitchen. She quickly wiped her face and faked a smile.
Nothing. I'm good. Is Misty on yet?
No. There's some guy who isn't that funny.
He crossed to the table and sat down.
Tell me what's going on.
She shook her head. It's nothing. Silly things. Too bad Pomegranate couldn't make it tonight.
Her name is Persimmon, which you know, and I'm not seeing her anymore. Harper, tell me.
She drew in a breath.
Apparently Becca and Ashton are more than just friends, and she didn't tell me.
She held up a hand. It's fine. She's nearly 17, and it's not like I'm her closest friend. It's just... I thought we could share the moment, you know?
His green eyes locked with hers.
You're hurt.
Yes. Hurt and disappointed and wondering when I became a bad mother.
You're not a bad mother.
My daughter wouldn't agree with you. She squared her shoulders. Enough about me. Let's go watch Misty kill it.
Lucas didn't budge.
She loves you. I hope you know that.
I do, and I love her. So we have that in common. I'll be okay, I promise. I just need a little time.
Before he could respond, Becca flew into the kitchen.
Mom, Lucas, come quick. Misty just came on the stage.
She did a little dance.
Mom, she's wearing that bracelet I braided for her. Can you believe it? It's like a shout-out to us.
Hurry. They stood. Lucas moved close and murmured,
Not exactly the words of a daughter who hates you.
Harper knew he was right. Hate was too strong a word. But somewhere along the way, they'd lost the closeness she'd always taken for granted. And she couldn't help thinking that at the end of the day, it was going to be because of something she'd done. Or worse, something she hadn't.
Becca, I need to speak to you for a moment.
Not words any student wanted to hear from a teacher, Becca thought, as she nodded while collecting her notes. Most of the other kids had already left the classroom, darting out as the bell rang. Becca had taken to lingering, so no one would see her leaving by herself and realize she'd become the unwanted loner. With Jordan's defection, nearly everyone else had followed. Becca now ate lunch alone, walked to class alone, and spoke to no one. Okay, sure, there were the odd greetings and a couple of weird kids that smiled at her, but that was it. She remembered learning a word when she'd been little and liking it so much she'd tried to use it all the time. But it had been difficult. Now she was the very definition of pariah. She walked to the front of the classroom. Mrs. Nemechek peered at her over her half-glasses, then shook her head.
I expected better of you, Becca. You barely earned a C on your last test. Your homework has been haphazard at best.
What's going on?
A lot, Becca thought. European history was her least favorite class this semester. The class emphasized World War II, and she'd discovered that nothing very nice had happened during that time period. All the talk of war and death and concentration camps was gross. When she was pushed for time, history homework came in last, but telling Mrs. Nemechek that she was getting A's and B's in her other classes wouldn't be much help.
I'm sorry, she said instead, then hesitated, wondering if she could talk about her personal life and get some sympathy. There was her dad getting remarried and what had happened with Nathan, but she wasn't sure her history teacher would want to know or if she would care. Still, bad grades weren't an option. Lucas made her show him her grades online, and if she was doing badly, he would stop showing up for their driving time, and she desperately wanted her license. Besides, she'd always been a pretty decent student.
Becca? Mrs. Nemechek sounded impatient. She opened her mouth to make up some lie, then mentally swerved at the last second and instead said,
You're right, Mrs. Nemechek. I've been phoning it in. To be honest, I don't like the subject matter. It's also grim and sad, and people are dying. I can't believe there were concentration camps. I mean, I know there were, but who would do that? Who would kill other people just because of where they were born or what they believed? It's wrong.
Her teacher's stern expression never softened. It is wrong, but that is beside the point.
Becca, I enjoy having you in class, but let me be clear. You earn your grade from me. It's not a gift. If you don't do the work, you will fail. If you do bad work, your grade will reflect that. Liking or not liking the subject matter is immaterial.
Becca wanted to stomp her foot at the unfairness of that.
Why did she need to learn history anyway? It was over and done, and no one really cared about it.
But that wasn't information that was going to sway her teacher, and she really had to get a good grade in the class.
I want to earn extra credit, she said quickly. Please give me a project, or I'll come up with one. Make it icky. I'll do the work. I want to do better.
Better can't be measured. Her teacher shook her head. I don't know, Becca. I appreciate your honesty, but I'm still disappointed in your attitude.
You should be. Becca said, thinking this was exactly like talking to her mom. That's refreshing. All right, I want a 15-page paper on some aspect of the war between Russia and Germany. You pick the topic. I want more than facts, and if I find even a single sentence copied from another source, you'll get an F. Make me feel something, Becca. Show me you understand what was happening. 15 pages? Was she kidding? Wasn't that about as long as a book? Most papers were 3 pages or 5. 15 was totally unfair, and... I'll do it, she said. You have until the Friday before finals. There will be no extensions.
I won't need one. Thank you, Mrs. Nemechek.
Becca grabbed her backpack and left the classroom. School was over for the day, and most of the students were already gone. No friends lingered for her, and there was no one around she wanted to talk to. Sadness threatened, but Becca pushed it away. She was going to get a good grade for sure, which meant she had to plan out the paper. 15 pages would take at least a couple of weeks. She hurried home and found Jazz waiting by the front door. Her dog stared at her expectantly. Becca skidded to a stop as she realized that she needed to make time for Jazz. She'd promised to take care of the dog, and that meant more than feeding her and letting Duane take her for a daily walk.
I know, Becca said, dropping to her knees and hugging the dog. We need to go outside and play. You've just been hanging out, huh? Let me put my stuff away and we'll figure out something.
Then she had to do homework and start researching her paper. Plus, she had to spend a little more time with her car's owner's manual, because she had another driving session with Lucas. She'd barely put her backpack down when her mom walked into her room.
Hi, sweetie. When did you get home from school?
Just now.
Have you thought any about the videos? I want to be able to get back to Valerie with a delivery date.
Becca felt herself tensing.
I don't know, Mom. Let me figure out what I'm going to do when. I have finals coming up and a big paper for European history. There's a lot.
Her mother's smile faded.
Is it too much?
Do you want me to find someone else to do the videos?
No.
The single word came out more sharply than Becca intended. She tried again.
I mean, of course not. I want to do them. Things are really complicated right now. Give me a day, okay?
If you're sure.
I don't want to make things more difficult.
You're not. I really want to do the videos. They would be fun, and she needed the money.
All right, we'll talk tomorrow.
Why don't I go make you a snack? You can't study if you're hungry.
Thanks, Mom.
Becca sank onto the floor. Jazz settled next to her and leaned close.
I've got to figure this out,
Becca told the dog, even as she reached for the phone. She sent off a quick text to Kaylee, but there was no response. Of course, Kaylee was too busy having fun. Becca scrambled to her feet and started making a list of everything she had to get done. It was way too long, and she was left with a sense of being trapped in some kind of cage with no escape. By 5, she'd figured out there wasn't an interesting part of World War II that didn't involve a lot of people being dead. Kaylee still hadn't answered. She'd totally screwed up her math homework. She had no friends to talk to. And the usually well-behaved Jazz had chewed one of her cat slippers.
Jazz, no!
She yelled, picking up one ear and a bit of a tail. All that was left of the fuzzy slippers.
These are mine! You have your own toys!
Her dog simply looked at her. Becca didn't know if she should cry, scream, or run away. Her phone chirped with a text from Ashton.
Hey, thinking of you.
Becca looked at the chewed-up slippers, the bored dog, the notes on a paper she still hadn't figured out, her unfinished math homework. She thought about the fight with Jordan and how Kaylee had well and truly forgotten all about her. Her life was a disaster, and she didn't know how to fix it. But she did know one thing. Having a guy in her life would change everything. And there was only one way to make sure that happened for real. She was going to have sex with Ashton. Then everything would be fine.
Chapter 17 Dean Pryor looked exactly like the cheer captain at an L.A. college. He was handsome in a very chiseled way, tall and lean, with dark hair and eyes. He wore pressed khakis, a white polo shirt, and an honest-to-God sweater over his shoulders. By comparison, Harper felt unwashed, disheveled, and decidedly uninspired. He shook her hand, made friends with the dog, and exuded charm and confidence.
I was so glad to get your call, he told her as he followed her into the dining room, where she'd decided to conduct their interview. Although the thought of her interviewing anyone made her want to both giggle and throw up, she wasn't in business. Not really. What did she know about hiring an employee? But she'd dutifully read a few articles online and had taken notes. She was hoping not to embarrass herself too badly.
I've wanted to get back to work, but the movie business so isn't going to be it. Those hours are impossible, and I don't want to travel.
He settled across from her and gave her a conspiratorial smile.
It's those damn kids. I hate to be away from them.
He pulled out his phone and showed her a couple of pictures of adorable twin girls, Mandy and Miranda.
They are so beautiful. We call them Tater and Tot, and I have no idea how that started. Lance, my husband, says I need to get out of the house or I'll start crocheting clothes for the dog, and then he'll be forced to lock me in a closet.
Dean grinned.
And honey, I'm way past coming out of the closet.
Harper laughed involuntarily. I'm all for moving forward, but I'm a little worried this job isn't going to be interesting enough for you. I don't know how much Kit told you, but I operate a home-based virtual assistant business. She paused, although a few of my clients don't get the concept of virtual. She made air quotes.
I know that one.
He leaned toward her.
I'm not looking for excitement. I want a little creative challenge and some income, and to get out of the house.
He handed her a slim folder.
Here's my resume and some references. My hours are flexible. As long as I can be home in time to pick up my kids, I'm good. I'm happy to work from here or from my house. Why don't you tell me what you need help with?
Harper explained about her clients, without mentioning names. Some of the work is steady, some is hit and miss.
Especially with party planners, he said, with a knowing nod. They're busy, you're busy. They're quiet, and there's nothing. That makes it tough.
Tell me about it. I have two sets of gift bags I need done by Tuesday, some envelopes to calligraph, and that's just this week.
You know calligraphy?
He sounded impressed.
I don't have the patience.
He winked.
Is this where I tell you there are computer programs for that?
I've mentioned it to my party planners, but some people still want the real thing.
Oh, we all want the real thing. The trick is finding it.
He looked around.
Where do you work?
I have a home office. It's small.
They went into the back bedroom. Dean looked around and tisked. You're overwhelmed with clutter, and it's not your fault. You need supplies, but where do you put them? I don't suppose you have a bonus room, do you? I'm a big believer in making a space work.
Harper hesitated.
What? You're hiding something. I can tell.
Rather than say anything, she waved him forward, and together they walked into her craft room. Dean turned in a slow circle before putting his hands on his hips.
You are crazy. You know that, right? This needs to be your office. Working in that tiny bedroom has to be depressing. How can you get anything done with the walls closing in? This space is bright and happy. What's going on?
An excellent question. She looked at all the shelves, the giant flat work surfaces, the closets, and wondered why on earth she'd been so resistant to change. Her business brought in money. The craft room was just... It was my before life, she said, unable to stop herself from speaking. Before the divorce, before I started my business, before I was a mess.
We are all a mess, Harper. Some of us are just better at faking it.
He untied his sweater and let it drop over the back of a chair.
Are you ready to let the past go, or do you need to hang on to it longer?
I'm ready.
Then let's get to it.
What do you mean?
I say let's move your office here and your crafts into the small room. We'll talk while we work and get to know each other. By the time we're done, I'll bet we'll know if we want to work together or not.
But it's going to take hours.
Tater and Tot have Mandarin class today, so I'm yours until 4.
He rolled his eyes.
Lance and I are such a cliché. Yes, we have enrolled our girls into Mandarin class, and gymnastics and fencing, if you can believe it. I'm turning into my mother, and let me tell you, we can't decide who that makes more uncomfortable, me or her.
Harper began to laugh. She'd known for a while that she had to switch her office with the craft room, but she'd never had the time or energy. Maybe she'd been waiting for Dean to come along to inspire her.
Let's do it, she said.
By the time Dean had to leave to collect his girls, Harper knew she'd found someone she could work with. Dean had been organized, efficient, and funny.
The move had happened more easily than she would have thought possible. They'd gone through her crafts, pulling out ridiculous things she would never use, but had held on to because she had the room. Now she had a huge pile to take over to the local women's shelter for them to use for crafts for the kids. Dean had left with the supplies for the first of the bag projects. He would have them back to her by Monday. They'd agreed on an hourly wage for him and an approximate schedule. Her work life, it seemed, had taken a turn for the better. Now all that was left was figuring out how to reconnect with her daughter. Still flush with her successful conversation with Ashton, Stacy decided to take her relationship confidence on a test drive and finally tell her mother about her pregnancy. Sunday morning, she and Kit drove over to Harper's, where Kit would wait with his sister-in-law. They'd talked it over and agreed that Stacy would literally come screaming out of her mother's apartment if things went very badly. Should that not happen, Kit would join her after 20 minutes. Stacy had a vision of herself running down the stairs, yelling at the top of her lungs, while the neighbors on both sides called 911 and reported an insane intruder. Of course, that would be a distraction from what was sure to be her mother's disapproval. "Maybe she'll understand," Stacy said, more to herself than Kit. "She loves babies, and she's getting another granddaughter. We are actually doubling the pool number."
"That could happen."
Stacy glanced at her husband, more than a little convinced he might be humoring her, rather than expressing his opinion. Not that telling her the conversation was going to end with her screaming would make her feel any better. They arrived far too quickly. Rather than go into Harper's and put off the inevitable, Stacy went directly upstairs and knocked on her mother's bright blue front door. Bunny answered seconds later.
"Stacy, did I know you were stopping by?"
"No, sorry, Mom. Kit and I were in the neighborhood, and I decided to come see you. Do you have a second?"
"Of course."
Bunny's apartment was above the oversized, detached, 3-story garage. Huge, west-facing windows offered a perfect view of the Pacific Ocean. Bunny waved her toward the overstuffed sofa, then hurried to the kitchen to no doubt prepare refreshments.
"I'm okay, Mom," Stacy said, following her into the small kitchen. "You don't have to..."
But it was too late. Bunny had pulled cookies out of a large pink handbag-shaped cookie jar. She got grapes and a small cheese plate from the refrigerator, then poured lemonade into crystal glasses. Stacy tried to remember the contents of her refrigerator. If there was lemonade, it would be in a carton, and she knew there wasn't a cheese plate. She might be able to find a few grapes. She wasn't sure. In less than 5 minutes, they were seated at the small round dining table. In addition to food, Bunny had put out lace placemats with matching napkins, flatware, all the serving pieces, crystal snack-sized plates that were the same pattern as the glasses, along with a floral centerpiece. Part of her wondered how it was possible to always be so prepared for company. The rest of her calculated the production hours lost to such a ridiculous pursuit. But then Bunny would tell her she was missing the point, and maybe she was. Bunny poured her a glass of lemonade, then smiled.
"This is lovely.
You don't stop by very often, do you? I rarely see you without Kit along. Not that he isn't a very nice man, but I do enjoy spending time with my little girl."
Stacy didn't bother pointing out she was 40 and hadn't been little for decades.
"I should do this more often," she admitted, sliding a few slices of cheese onto her plate. "I did want to talk to you about something, Mom."
Bunny's gaze locked on her.
"What is it? Are you changing jobs? Don't tell me you're moving away. You only came home a few years ago. Kit has a good teaching position, and I thought you were happy with your work."
"We are not moving. We're staying right there in Mischief Bay."
"Oh, then what?"
Her mother looked expectant. Stacy swallowed against her suddenly dry throat, then told herself she hadn't done anything wrong. Or at least not very wrong. Besides, it was her body, and if she didn't want to...
"Stacy Ray Bloom, tell me what you came to say."
"I'm pregnant."
Her mother stared at her for several seconds. Then her face crumbled as tears filled her eyes.
"Oh, Stacy, that's wonderful."
Stacy found herself being hugged fiercely as Bunny sniffed and tried to speak.
"I'm so happy for you. Another grandchild."
She returned to her seat and pulled an embroidered hanky out of some hidden pocket before lightly dabbing her eyes.
"I'd hoped, of course, but I never thought it would happen. You're 40. Have you talked to your doctor? You know you have to take care of yourself. There are concerns when you're over 35.
I don't know exactly what they are, but still.
She smiled.
A baby.
So far so good, Stacy thought with cautious optimism. I've talked to my doctor. She specializes in high-risk pregnancies, and I'm doing very well. I've been taking care of myself, and I have excellent genetics.
You get those from me, her mother laughed. All right, and maybe from your father. What are you going to do about work? Are you going to resign or just take a long maternity leave? Not that I can see you quitting that job you love so much. So what will you do for daycare?
I'm taking off 3 weeks after the birth, and Kit will stay home with the baby.
Bunny's mouth dropped open.
What? 3 weeks?
That's absurd. You can't take off 3 weeks. You have to breastfeed. You have to take care of your child. That's what a mother does, Stacy.
This isn't some project you can assign to someone else. You are responsible for your own children.
Something Stacy was very clear on. It was being responsible that made her so uneasy.
I won't be breastfeeding, Mom, she said as gently as she could. It's not practical. I love my work, and I want to get back to it as quickly as possible.
That's totally ridiculous. There is no way Kit can be a stay-at-home father.
Why not? He's far more nurturing than me.
Mom, we've talked about this, and it's what we want to do.
I make way more money than Kit. I have excellent benefits. Why shouldn't I be the one to support the family?
But he's a man.
Her mother looked appalled and uncomfortable. Everything about it is wrong. The world is changing. Kit's in a support group for men just like him. There are more out there than you would think.
She tried not to get defensive. After consciously lowering her voice, she smiled and touched her mother's arm. It's a brave new world, as they say. Men are doing all kinds of things we never thought they could do.
Don't try to be funny, her mother snapped. I can't believe it. This is a nightmare. It was bad enough when you wouldn't take his last name, but now this? What am I supposed to tell my friends? That my son-in-law is staying home with the baby?
It's the truth.
Stacy held in a sigh. Kit and I decided on this before we even got married. We wanted to try to have a baby, and we knew that it made more sense for him to stay home. He'll work through the end of the semester, then resign. His principal already knows. It's going to be great.
Bunny frowned. Why would he stop working so soon? When are you due? Around Christmas?
Her expression softened. A Christmas baby would be so nice.
Uh-oh. Crap and double crap. There was no easy way around her due date. Kit had warned her waiting would be bad. She'd known in her head, but the thought of telling her mother had been impossible to imagine, let alone get done.
I'm due at the end of June.
Her mother's mouth dropped open as her eyes widened.
What? She asked, her voice a shriek. In June?
I'm sorry. I wanted to tell you sooner, but time got away from me. Kit and I agreed to wait until I was past the 3-month mark. Given my age and possibility of miscarriage, that seemed the best thing. Then that came and went, and we got busy, and I didn't mean to keep it from you, Mom. It just sort of happened.
Her mother stared at Stacy's midsection, then threw up her hands and sprang to her feet.
How could you? She demanded. You kept this from me, which is just like you. You're due in less than 2 months, and I'm just now finding out?
Tears filled her eyes.
What kind of daughter does that make you? Or are you going to make this all about me? Once again, I've failed you. Well, not this time, Missy. You should have told me.
Bunny grabbed the back of the chair on the opposite side of the table and glared.
You are a constant disappointment, Stacy. I'm your mother. Why are you punishing me?
For the first time since getting pregnant, Stacy felt as if she were going to throw up. She was cold, nauseous, and lightheaded. Her mother's anger and hurt assaulted her, making her feel small and unsure, just like when she was a kid. Somewhere in the distance, she thought she heard a door open and close, but she wasn't sure. Maybe she was simply imagining there was an escape.
Don't you have anything to say for yourself? Bunny asked. This is so like you, punishing me for something I never did.
Stop it.
The firm male voice had them both turning. Stacy raced over to Kit, who put his arm around her. Bunny glared at them both.
You're in this together, she announced. I don't know why you take such pleasure in deceiving me, but be assured, I'm never going to forgive this.
Stacy wasn't ready to share the news, Kit told her. That's all it is, Bunny. You can try to make it more, but that's on you, not her. She's told you now, and I hope you can be happy for us. But if you can't, then the loss is totally yours. As for how we're going to raise our daughter, again, it was our decision to make, and we've made it.
He smiled at Stacy, then turned back to Bunny.
You've raised an amazing daughter, and she's going to have a baby. I wish you could be happy for us. I thought you would be. I guess I overestimated you.
With that, he led Stacy away. She made it to the bottom of the stairs before bursting into tears. Kit hugged her tight and promised everything would be fine, but she knew he couldn't be more wrong. Chapter 18
"Mom, I need to tell you something," Becca said on Monday morning. Harper sat at the breakfast table, her tablet in front of her, her third cup of coffee in her hand. She was trying a new organization program with a phone and tablet app that allowed her to sync her devices, but she was having trouble getting the hang of it. She had the feeling it was going to be worth the effort, but until then, she wasn't sure what she was supposed to be doing when. She was about to tell Becca this wasn't a good time when she remembered about Ashton, her daughter's first boyfriend. Thank God, Becca was finally going to reveal all. "Sure," she said brightly, closing her tablet and smiling at her daughter. "What's up, honey?" Becca shuffled from foot to foot before sitting down and looking at Harper. "It's about Dad."
"Dad?
I thought..." She cleared her throat. "Okay, tell me about Dad." Becca looked down, back at her, then squeezed her eyes tightly shut before blurting, "He's getting married at the end of the month." She opened her eyes. "I wanted to tell you before, but I thought you'd be mad or upset or something, and I'm really sorry, but I have to go. I'm in the wedding. Alicia doesn't want me to be, but Dad made her, and I have to wear a stupid dress, and it's gross, and I'm scared, and I really want you to come with me. Please?" Harper hadn't seen her mother since Stacy had dropped the baby bomb on her yesterday. After getting the recap from her sister, she'd gone to check on Bunny, but her mother had gone out and hadn't returned until late in the evening. Harper had tried to imagine how shocked and upset she might be, but she knew she hadn't come close. Until now. Terrence was getting married? Married? Not that she wanted him back, but WTF. The bastard couldn't be bothered to tell her himself? And to make Becca be in the wedding? And he was getting married again? She wanted to throw something, or scream, or both. Instead, she had to suck it up because that was what she always did. Suck it up for the greater good, and talk like a normal person so as not to terrify her daughter. "Your dad hasn't said anything to me," she said, doing her best not to sound shrill. "If you don't want to be in the wedding, tell him, or I'll tell him." "I know, but it's just easier to do it, and then it's over. I know he doesn't really care if I'm there or not. He just wants to say I was there." "Becca, your dad loves you." "I hear that a lot, but he sure doesn't act like it. He never listens. No one listens." All Harper's mother senses went on alert. She recognized that quiet, resigned, unhappy tone. It was way worse than talking back or sarcasm or anything annoying. It was filled with sadness and resignation, as if the worst had occurred and couldn't be mended or undone. "What do you mean?" she asked. "I listen." Becca rolled her eyes. "Oh, please. Mom, you never listen. Not anymore. You're busy with work all the time. Everything is more important than me. If a client calls, the entire world has to come to a halt. I could be lying on the kitchen floor, shot, and you would still take a client call." Harper felt the words as if they were physical blows. She wanted to duck and weave, to protect herself from the assault. But she was too shocked to speak. Her daughter stood and glared at her. "You don't know me anymore. You don't know what happened with Kaylee or Jordan or Nathan. You don't know anything." Becca grabbed her backpack and stormed out of the kitchen. Harper rose and stared after her, not sure what to do. She glanced at the clock and realized school would be starting in half an hour. No doubt Becca had timed the conversation about her father so that she had an excuse to bolt, but Harper doubted she'd expected the conversation to go so badly. She tried to breathe and couldn't, then collapsed back in her chair. Her daughter's words continued to echo, that Harper didn't know anything about her life. She tried to tell herself it wasn't true, but look how wrong she'd been about Ashton. And she had no idea what Becca meant about Jordan, Kaylee, and some other kid. It wasn't her fault,
she told herself, as she fought against tears. She was trying to keep them afloat financially. Things were difficult, and she had to focus on keeping food on the table, and... Had she really lost touch with Becca? Had she really screwed up that badly? Was this just teenage craziness, or had her daughter been telling the truth? And if she was, didn't that make Harper the worst mother alive? Bunny walked in the back door and slammed it behind her.
"I assume you heard what happened with Stacy?"
Harper wanted to cover her face with her hands and have it all go away.
"Mom, I really can't talk about this right now. You don't have a choice. Can you believe it? Your sister is a piece of work. I'm so angry."
Bunny's lower lip trembled.
"She was awful to me and the things Kit said. I can't ever forget them. But the worst part is the baby. She's going to have a baby in a few weeks, and I didn't know."
Harper nodded, wishing there was a way to distract her mother so she could run and hide until she stopped hurting so much.
"We need a plan," her mother said firmly. "Some way to show them they were wrong."
Harper shook her head. "I'm not going to help you punish Stacy. She's dealing with enough. Think about it, Mom. This can't be easy for her. Stacy's incredibly brilliant, but she's hardly maternal. She didn't want to tell you. I know that makes you feel bad, but for once consider the fact she wasn't trying to hurt you. She was trying to protect herself. There's a difference."
Bunny stared at her. "You knew! You knew all this time and didn't tell me. Why didn't you tell me?"
Harper thought longingly of the blissful relief of banging her head against a hard surface. Maybe she would give herself amnesia, and then she wouldn't have to deal with her family at all. Bunny's eyes filled with tears that slipped down her cheeks.
"How could you do that to me? I'm your mother."
"And Stacy's my sister, Mom. I'm really sorry. She asked me not to tell, so I didn't. I kept her secret."
"I'm your mother. I thought you loved me. I thought my daughters loved me. It's always been the two of you against me. This is just like when you were little. You always defended her. You always took her side. What about me? Why don't I matter?"
"Knock, knock,"
Harper heard Dean's voice as he let himself into the house and held in a groan. Timing was not on her side this morning. He walked into the kitchen.
"Good morning. How are we do—"
He looked from her to Bunny and immediately started backing out of the room.
"I'll be in the office," he mouthed silently.
Lucky him. He got to escape. Harper turned back to her mother, who was already halfway across the kitchen.
"Mom, wait. Please. We have to talk."
"There's nothing to say," her mother told her. "You both betrayed me. I have to deal with that and what I thought was our relationship. Obviously, you two are still much closer to each other than to me. I don't matter at all. I'm just... well, I don't know what. Goodbye, Harper." She slammed the door behind her. Harper, honest to God, didn't know what to do. Go after her mother? Chase down Becca? Hire someone to beat the shit out of Terrence? The front door opened again. Seconds later, she heard the familiar scramble of dog nails on her tile floors. Jazz came flying down the stairs and went to greet her friend. Harper returned to the kitchen table and reached for her coffee, just as Lucas walked in.
"Morning," he said, then frowned. "What?"
"Oh, you really don't want to know." He sat across from her with an expectant look. "Don't say I didn't warn you," she grumbled. "Fine. You want me to tell you? Fine. In no particular order, my daughter has a boyfriend. I knew she and Ashton were dating, but now it's serious. And before you ask, I don't object. From all I've heard, he's a really good kid. It's not the boy I mind. It's that once again, she didn't tell me." She gripped her cup more tightly. "She said we never talk anymore because I don't have time to listen. She said I don't care about her." She felt tears and just let them fall. "I do care. She's my kid, my world. But I've totally screwed up, and that sucks." She cleared her throat. "Stacy finally told Bunny about the baby. That was a disaster, as you can imagine, but right after Becca dumped on me, Bunny figured out I'd known all along. Now I'm the other bad daughter. So I'm fighting with my daughter and my mother, and I'm the common denominator. So what if it's my fault? Also, Terrence is marrying the bimbo at the end of the month. That bastard never told me, and while I don't care, he should have said something. Becca has to go to the wedding, and she's upset and wants me to go with her. Although if I'm such a shitty mother, I'm not sure why, but hey,
I'll go because even though she doesn't believe me, I do love her and would walk through fire for her. So I have to go to the wedding, and I suppose the only good thing is the bimbo will be upset. Although I'm not really the kind of person who wants to upset a bride on her wedding day, even her. So where does that leave me, and aren't you sorry you asked?
Lucas's gaze was steady, his green eyes unreadable.
Do you need a hug?
The question was so unexpected she started to laugh, which oddly made her cry harder. Then the most unexpected thing happened. Lucas walked around the table, pulled her to her feet, and, well, hugged her. It wasn't romantic or sexy. Instead, it was solid and encompassing, and even after a minute, he didn't let go. He just hugged her, despite her crying into his crisp white shirt. He held on until she could breathe again and the tears had subsided. Then, only then, did he release her. She wiped her face.
Thank you, Lucas. I guess I did need a hug.
One shoulder rose and fell.
Happy to help.
He pulled an index card from his shirt pocket and handed it to her.
A new client. He wants custom baskets delivered to the staff of a specialized nursing facility every week. His daughter is in a coma, and he wants to thank the staff for taking such good care of her.
Thanks.
She glanced at the card. That's not going to be cheap.
He has money.
Not a cop?
No, he's a former drug kingpin who turned his life around.
Lucas waved away any questions.
Don't ask. He's someone I know, but not a friend. But when he mentioned what he needed, I thought of you. If the idea of working with him makes you uncomfortable, don't call him. I didn't give him your name.
I don't know what to say.
Think about it. I have to get to work.
He hesitated.
You okay?
No, but I will be.
You know how to reach me if you need anything.
Like another hug? She asked, hoping she sounded teasing rather than pathetic.
Whatever. Just text me.
She nodded, and he left. Seconds later, Dean appeared and snatched the card from her hand.
We so have to work for this guy. I wonder if we'll meet him. Wouldn't that be interesting?
He used to be a drug dealer, so no.
Dean raised his eyebrows.
Not a lowly drug dealer. He was a drug kingpin.
How is that different?
He was in management.
Despite everything, Harper started to laugh. There's something seriously wrong with you.
Lance says that all the time, but the truth is I have an adventurous spirit and he doesn't.
Speaking of adventures, you told me this job was going to be boring.
You were so wrong.
She groaned. You heard?
Oh, honey, the neighbors heard.
His expression turned concerned.
Are you all right?
Like I said before, no, but I will be.
You need a date for your ex's wedding. Showing up by yourself will make you feel awful. I'd offer to go, but Lance is traveling the rest of the month, so if I'm not here, I'm with the twins.
He glanced toward the front door.
What about Lucas? He's very handsome, and I'm sure he knows how to behave. You could ask him to bring his gun and shoot the groom.
He winked.
Or the bride. Your choice.
No one is getting shot, and he would never go with me. She laughed at the thought. Lucas's idea of a good time is a woman between the ages of 20 and 22. It would be like hanging out with his mother.
I'm not talking about a date. You need an escort.
His eyes widened.
Oh, I have friends who are professional escorts and part-time models. Want me to call one of them?
No. She poked him in the chest. I mean that, Dean. No escorts. No boyfriends. No guns. I will go with Becca, assuming she still wants me to, and I will be fine.
If you say so. But I still think you should ask Lucas.
He tapped the index card against his palm.
I really want this new client. Say no if you disagree.
Go for it, she told him. Let's add a former drug kingpin to the stable. Stacy continued to experience the fallout of her bunny encounter for several days. The vague sense of impending disaster never fully went away. Not that anything bad was going to happen. She knew that. It was just fighting with her mother and never ended well. At least, not for her. Bunny seemed blessed with an ability to skate through life without an emotional scratch. While Kit told her about his day, she found herself barely able to listen. She didn't want to eat or do much of anything. The most appealing thought for the evening was to simply curl up in her bed and wait for the icky feelings to go away. A ridiculous idea, she told herself.
There were several ways to change a mood, and many of them were safe during her pregnancy. Exercise, for example. Or she and Kit could watch a funny movie,